Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we learn how the Minnesota Department of Homeland Security and the Minnesota National Guard prepare for potential emergencies. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
The Minnesota National Guard is well equipped to accomplish our missions both domestically and overseas. In order to be prepared for all types of environments and challenges, we train as we operate. Sometimes overlooked, however, is the impact that the training and daily operations we conduct has on the environment. I'm proud to say that for many years, Camp Ripley's Environmental Office has been at the forefront of conservation and stewardship efforts, not only within the state, but the nation. The Environmental Office conducts numerous ongoing studies on wildlife and plants to document the quality of wildlife habitat found at Camp Ripley and to investigate relationships between military activities and sensitive wildlife species. To date, these studies have demonstrated a high degree of compatibility between military activities and wildlife species. For example, while it has long been thought that timber wolves are sensitive to wilderness dwellers unable to adapt to human activity, a radio telemetry study was found that Ripley wolves breed and raise their young relatively close to centers of military activity and are in fact quite adaptable. One of the great success stories of the Camp Ripley Environmental Office is the identification and tracking of the bear population within Camp Ripley Reservation. Through the 20 years of the program, Camp Ripley personnel have been able to identify nuisance bears and also to locate bear dens on the post. This year, as in past years, school groups, journalists, and visitors of all kinds will have the opportunity to visit a bear den on Camp Ripley. They'll see the bear's natural habitat firsthand and get a look inside the Environmental Office's efforts to balance the needs of the military training with environmental stewardship. For more information on the Camp Ripley Environmental Office, as well as the Environmental Classroom, log on to MinnesotaNationalGuard.org and click on Camp Ripley.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, today we're going to learn how the Minnesota Department of Homeland Security and the Minnesota National Guard prepare for potential emergencies. And joining me now is Joe Kelly, who was named as the Director of Homeland Security Emergency Management in January 2015. He has the overall responsibility to ensure coordination of state agency preparedness and emergency response to all types of natural and other emergencies and disasters in Minnesota. Director Joe Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. It's great to be back with you. Thank you.
General, that sounds like quite a responsibility to be the director of Minnesota's Homeland Security and Emergency Management. Must be an awful lot of things that that you have to check on and make sure we're prepared for.
Well, first up, Tom, it's a great job, and I'm humbled to have it. We have lots of challenges because we take our responsibilities to make sure that the people of Minnesota are safe very seriously.
And, Director, I know that your career, you've spent some time as the deputy director, a few years, and then 31 years in the Army. It really all kind of prepared you for this position, didn't it?
Well, I like to think that it prepared me well, Tom, and about half of that military service was spent in planning and coordinating operations of the Minnesota National Guard to go and support our local communities when they have an incident that's beyond their capacity to handle on their own. So between that 15 or so years and then 4 years right after I retired, 4 years as the deputy director of the division, I do feel like I was very well prepared and very, like I said, very, very humbled to have this job.
And, sir, a few years back, you got a little taste of it. You served as the Joint Military Task Force Commander during the 2008 Republican National Convention right here in town.
Well, as I watched the primary and caucus season unfold and as the country looks forward to the political conventions, I've thought back on some of those experiences 8 years ago. That too was a great experience. And to be part of a small part of the process that our country goes through to pick its leaders was a great experience.
And Director, it's springtime again in Minnesota. We've had an easy winter, but we have severe weather season approaching, and I'm sure there's some potential threats. What type of things are you monitoring this year?
You're right, Tom. We did have an easy winter with most parts of the state, although not everywhere, having about half of their normal amount of snowfall. So the good news was that we have probably dodged the bullet, if you will, on the on the spring snowmelt flood season. And we've already had lost all our snow cover, and ice is going off the lakes. The challenge we have between now and green up is an increased wildfire threat. So we got a lot of standing dry vegetation, trees without leaves. So we're going to be paying attention for the next 30 to 45 days to the wildfire situation. Because we had a wet fall, we're also keeping an eye on rainfall. The ground still has some frost in it, and we are concerned that if it starts raining and doesn't stop, we could have some rain-induced, deluge rainfall-induced floods. But so far, so good.
We're speaking with Director Joe Kelly from the Minnesota Homeland Security and Emergency Management on Minnesota Military Radio. Director, there's been a lot of news in the papers over the winter about rail safety, and a lot of it has to do with all the oil trains coming back and forth from North Dakota. Has that been a big issue for you lately?
That has indeed been a big issue for us. As most of your listeners know, a couple of years back, North Dakota kind of re-energized its oil production, and that oil has to move. And because most of the oil that's coming out of the North Dakota fields is going from west to east, it's going to refineries on the East Coast, it has to move. They have to move that product by rail. And one of the primary rail routes between here and those refineries on the East Coast is through Minnesota. So with that volume of product moving on Minnesota rail lines, as well as the volatility of Bakken crude oil, there has been a lot of concern in the local communities that those rail lines run through, and they want to make sure that they're prepared, that if there's a train derailment and a spill or a fire, that they're prepared to respond.
And, Director, we're going to talk a little bit more in the third segment today about some training, because I know you went through some exercises last year and some coming up this year. And after we talked to Brigadier General Jensen in the second segment about the Minnesota National Guard and how you work together, and we'll come back and talk about those training items. Sir, I know that there's a bonding proposal for a request for some money to build a new state emergency operations center over in Arden Hills. And that's a facility that's part of the Minnesota National Guard as well, isn't it?
Well, the parcel of property we're looking at, Arden Hills, is immediately adjacent to the Minnesota National Guard training site in Arden Hills. We're currently located in downtown St. Paul, in a building that, quite frankly, is only about a third of the size that architects and engineers say we should have for our function. And we have some other issues there because of the facility, with the reliability of communications and power and some security issues. So this project is important to Minnesotans because when there's an emergency, when there's a disaster at the local level, they often call the state of Minnesota. They call state government for assistance, and we want to make sure that we're there to answer those calls for help. So that project represents what we think is the investment necessary to construct a dependable state emergency operations center so that we will always be there for our local governments when they need the help of state government.
Yeah, and there's a good reason you selected that site, because of the other facilities that are already available on the Minnesota National Guard side.
Yep, this is a project we've been working on in partnership with the National Guard for somewhere conservatively, I would say, between 8 and 10 years. And because of the types of facilities that the Guard has right next door, we're able to build probably 20 to 25% less building than we would normally have to do, because through our partnership with the Guard, we can use their facilities. So it's a great partnership, and it's a great value for our taxpayers.
And Director Kelly, remember from last year's show and from other discussions with you, that one of the main things that you and do in your training is to pull together other agencies from around the state. It's not just Homeland Security. It's the Minnesota National Guard. It's counties, cities, state officials, MnDOT. You try to pull everybody together and pool equipment and people and all of those responsive operations together.
We often refer to incident command and emergency management as kind of being the ultimate team sport. Not that it's a game, but it is an endeavor that requires a whole bunch of people from multiple disciplines and multiple levels of government to be able to communicate, coordinate, and work together to do what's right for the citizens of Minnesota after something bad has happened.
So in all your training exercises, you meet the people that you might have to work with during an emergency. And I think, as I recall, that there is a format so that if there's an emergency, you put the equipment in, you put the people in, you don't care where they come from, but there's a method to pay back those agencies so they don't use up their budgets.
Well, that's correct. We always say that at the time of the emergency, the crisis is no time to be exchanging business cards. We need to know each other so we can trust each other and be very effective and efficient during our response.
Director Kelly, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to meet with Brigadier General John Jensen, and then we'll have you back in the third segment, and we'll talk about how you work together on all that training. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we've been talking about how the Minnesota Department of Homeland Security and the Minnesota National Guard prepare for potential emergencies. In the first segment, we met Director Joe Kelly from the Homeland Security Emergency Management, and now we're joined by Brigadier General John Jensen from the Minnesota National Guard. General, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom. It's great to be back here with you and the award-winning Minnesota Military Radio hour, as well as the whole network.
General, always good to have you in the studio. Can you share with our listeners, you've had a really successful career so far. How long have you been in the military?
November will be 34 years, so while it's been successful, I think most of my success is that I've lasted almost 34 years. Started as an enlisted soldier in the Iowa Army National Guard. I was a medic. Ultimately, went to Fort Benning, Georgia, got my commission as an infantry officer. Ultimately, ended up here in Minnesota, where Director Kelly, our first guest today, was kind enough to keep my wife and my children, and then me as well, here in Minnesota, and allow me to continue my career with the Minnesota National Guard. So I've been a member of the Minnesota National Guard for about 14 years now.
And, sir, your current position is Director of Joint Staff?
Yes, that's correct. I'm the senior leader of our Joint Staff, our Air Force and our Army staff that comes together focused on our response to domestic operations here in Minnesota.
In general, we've been talking about how we pull all the agencies in Minnesota together and coordinate with Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management. And, of course, a big part of that's the Minnesota National Guard. Last time you were on the show, I think we talked about the Minnesota National Guard has a federal and a state mission. The federal mission is when they get called up, and the state mission when there's emergencies, then you're there for that as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. So our federal mission, we'll receive that from the Secretary of Defense and the President, send us to Iraq, Afghanistan, the Sinai, items or places like that. Here in our state mission, the Governor Dayton is responsible for employing the Minnesota National Guard in response to an emergency or an event here in Minnesota. And we work very close with and through the Department of Public Safety and Homeland Security Emergency Management. So they're our key partners as it relates to that mission.
So, sir, how and where does the Minnesota National Guard prepare for possible emergencies that could happen in Minnesota?
Well, much like our federal mission, Tom, we are training for this everywhere here in Minnesota, whether it's one of our 64 armories across our 61 communities here in Minnesota, or Camp Ripley, where we do most of our collective training just because of the facilities that are available there. But for example, we had a very large training event last year, Vigilant Guard 15, that I think we're going to talk about a little bit later, hosted right out of the St. Paul Armory, but also being conducted at Camp Ripley. And then the city of Duluth also supported part of that training. So we're able to do it really wherever our partners are. You know, we can do it at the local level, we can do it at the county level, we can do it at the state level.
In general, you say you've got these armories all over the state, 63 or 64?
64 facilities, Tom, and 61 great communities.
Now, those armories must be important when it comes to the speed with which you can respond to emergencies.
Yeah, exactly right. As you look at the state of Minnesota, we have an armory geographically located, throughout the state, and it really does enable us to respond more quickly to an emergency. You think of your fire station. You know, the closer your home is to the fire station, the quicker the fire truck's going to get there. And while we're not first responders, we do have an internal expectation that when called, we'll be prepared and we will respond.
And, sir, can you explain to us what state active duty is, why it's so important, and how it works?
Yeah, state active duty is a military status, if you will, that allows us to respond directly to the governor. And so it does a couple things. It puts us on a state order, if you will, which allows the state of Minnesota to pay our soldiers to perform duty in support of the state. as well as it provides protections to them as well. You know, if they're injured, medical coverage to make sure that they're taken care of with that. And so state active duty really is a legal status that allows us to pay for and care for our soldiers.
In general, what type of emergencies do you train for?
Well, you know, earlier this year, we had an all-hazards tabletop exercise with HSCM over what I'm calling the three Fs that we're focused on right now. Initially, it was floods, fire, and flu. People can remember the avian flu incident from last fall. We're still focused on that with the Department of Agriculture, obviously several different partners. So we did a little focus on flood, fire, and flu. But really, we look at all potential emergencies. That's one thing that Director Kelly has really brought to the agency is a focus on all hazards response. Meaning, we will develop policies and procedures that will be able to incorporate to whatever the emergency is.
We're speaking with Brigadier General John Jensen from the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. General, is there some specialized equipment that you can make available through the Minnesota National Guard for emergencies that you coordinate with the Homeland Security?
There is. We have a fairly sophisticated and fairly specialized unit called the 55th Civil Support Team. This team is a 22-member full-time team that is focused on chemical, biological, radiological, or nuclear hazards. So they're a very highly trained team focused in that area. It's like I said, it's only 22 people, but they are a state-level resource that can respond anywhere in the state as it relates to that. And then we also have a larger group that's made up of traditional guardsmen. It's called the Chemical, Biological, Radiological, Nuclear Explosive Enhanced Response Force Package, which certainly is way too long to ever remember that, Tom. So we call it the SERF-P, Army and Air, both. And they have a wide variety of capabilities. They've got extraction capability if, for example, a building would collapse. They have a decontamination capability. They have a wonderful medical capability as well. And so we can take this 200-soldier, this 200-airman unit and employ it anywhere in the state. So they get special training. They get additional training days to make sure that that they can do what we're going to ask them to do someday.
In general, how quickly can you call those soldiers and airmen up to perform?
Well, we have some units that are on a very short notice. We define short notice as less than 24 hours. And so we maintain a very small capability that way. And then we have larger capabilities that can respond, you know, outside of 24 hours. But, you know, as we always have to remind everybody, our guardsmen have primary jobs outside of the National Guard. The vast majority, 85% of our soldiers and airmen, have other careers in the civilian world. And so that is one of the reasons why we're not an immediate response force. We are going to respond after our firemen, after our police, and after resources like that. We're there to back them up and support them when either there's a special niche capability like the CST I mentioned, or if they just need some labor because they have been at it for too long.
General, you've got some capabilities in the Minnesota National Guard that most people don't hear about, and we've had the 55th Civil Support Team on the show a couple of times, and one of the stories they told us about was they were sweeping the Metrodome at a football game, 55,000 people in there, and they found a reading, and they traced it to one of the suites. And it was one of the people that were watching the game had a medical treatment the day before, and they found him out of 55,000 people and interviewed him and found out this was just routine, everything was fine. And what a capability.
It is. And, you know, as amazing as that is, it doesn't surprise me. These soldiers and these airmen every single day are working at this task, and they take it seriously, obviously, because it's their full-time job. Again, highly capable, highly trained, and really a wonderful resource.
In general, with all the troops that you've got and all the equipment you have, that must help Director Kelly over at Homeland Security be able to bring all those resources together at the right time and the right place when there is an emergency.
Well, we have a great relationship, first of all, in part because his tie-in to the Minnesota National Guard, his longtime service there. So he understands us. So absolutely, we don't have to... interpret what each other is speaking. You know, we understand what each person's saying. But in the introduction today, you know, General Nash talked about, you know, training for the way that you'll employ, and we have a commitment to that with HSCM. We routinely remind each other that we are going to train the way we're going to employ. So when we go to an exercise like the tabletop I just mentioned, you know, we really focus on, hey, what's real world? How would we really do this? And we don't allow people to make things up.
Great lead-in, General. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to you and Director Kelly about how you train together in a special training job that you did last year and what's coming up this year. So this is Minnesota Military Radio. We're speaking with Brigadier General John Jensen. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Today's Yellow Ribbon Company Spotlight is Minnesota State College, Southwest Technical. The college's Winona and Red Wing campuses are dedicated to supporting military-connected students and employees. They have partnered with local Yellow Ribbon community networks to support military recognition events and assist with needs in the community. The college also works closely with the Workforce Center on campus to provide employment support to veteran students and reintegration training for returning employees and their leaders to ease transition back into the workplace. Minnesota State College, Southeast Technical, has been a Yellow Ribbon company since November 2015 and is honored and proud to be making a difference to service members, veterans, and their families.
Hi, this is Jim Kellogg, commander of the Minnesota American Legion. This coming June, over 800 high schoolers will travel to Minnesota Boys State and Minnesota Girls State. They are premier programs in Minnesota for hands-on learning about grassroots democracy. The students will create their own parties, elect their own legislature, state officers to become better citizens of our great nation. Please join the American Legion family still serving America. Contact us at mnlegion.org. That's mnlegion.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today we've been talking about how the Minnesota Department of Homeland Security Emergency Management works with the Minnesota National Guard to prepare for potential emergencies here at home in Minnesota. And our guests have been Director Joe Kelly from the Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management and Brigadier General John Jensen from the Minnesota National Guard. And General Jensen, we're kind of blessed in Minnesota. We've got one of the best training facilities in the United States, as I understand it, up in Camp Ripley.
Yes, Camp Ripley, a 53,000-acre facility, Tom, that is a tremendous training resource, not only to the Minnesota National Guard, but we also host active duty units from the Navy, from the Marine Corps. Canadian Battle Group comes down quite often and trains down there. But what some people may not realize is the interagency activity that goes on there as well at Camp Ripley. HSCM has their Emergency Management Training Center right there at Camp Ripley. The Department of Transportation every year brings their snowplow drivers up there to train. The State Patrol Academy is up at Camp Ripley, so every new patrolman goes through training up there. And, of course, we heard again from General Nash earlier about the environmental activity that goes on there under Department of Natural Resources. So as you can tell just by that type of activity, it's a military reservation, but we host a tremendous capability for our interagency partners as well.
And it's not a federal facility. It's actually a state-owned facility.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a state facility.
That provides the flexibility to bring in all of the other state agencies and some of the counties and so forth.
That's correct.
Director Kelly, I understand that Homeland Security's got a new facility up on Camp Ripley as well.
Yes, we do, Tom. As General Jensen mentioned, we call it the Emergency Management Training Center, which is a kind of a multi-purpose facility. We use it for classroom training and more specifically, we use it for exercises, for practicing that coordination between all the different levels of government and response activities. So that thing gets used a lot, and we have plans to use it even more because of the other amenities that we have at Camp Ripley.
And, Director, I understand that in 2015, you had a big training event called Vigilant Guard. Can you tell us what that was about?
Well, the National Guard had a big training event called Vigilant Guard that we played a key role in. And Vigilant Guard was, as you were talking with General Jensen in the second segment, was based around how we're going to use the resources and integrate the National Guard into an emergency that's beyond the capabilities of local agencies to deal with. And it was a very complicated scenario. It's had everything from flash flooding to a train derailment, hazardous materials, incidents, evacuation, and caring for people who had to leave their homes. So it was clearly one of those types of scenarios that were going to overwhelm the civilian resources. And so to have almost an overwhelming scenario where we were going to use the help of the National Guard really gave us a lot to think about. We talked earlier about the need to have the State Emergency Operations Center. For that exercise, we had a full activation of the State Emergency Operations Center. So there were probably approaching 200 people in our facility in downtown St. Paul from about 24 state agencies and half a dozen federal agencies, again, working with the National Guard to help local communities respond to an event.
So you had all those people in St. Paul, but General Jensen, did you mention there were folks involved from Duluth? And then, of course, you had a lot of soldiers up at Camp Ripley.
We did. We simulated a train derailment up in the city of Duluth, as well as a large mudslide, a large weather event. And so the whole city of Duluth really supported this training event as well. And that was the key. Director Kelly mentioned the complexity of this exercise, and that's really what we were working towards, was a very complex exercise, geographically dispersed. So we had Camp Ripley, St. Paul, and Duluth to really put as much stress on the system as we could, so we could really test our processes and our procedures to ensure that we could validate them.
General, how long was that exercise?
For us, for the Guard, ours was a little bit longer. It was right at 2 weeks. But with all of our interagency partners, it was 5 days.
And Director, were you down at the Emergency Operations Center for 2 weeks?
No, but I was strapped in there for the better part of the 5 days that John just mentioned, because that would be where I am, is trying to stand in the middle of that center and make sure that we're coordinating and synchronizing those state resources. So it was a long week with a lot of good hard work and a lot of lessons learned.
And part of what you were doing from your center is directing resources to the right place.
Exactly. You know, the state of Minnesota, state government has a lot of resources. By that, I mean people, money, expertise, equipment. And when a local community needs that help, their requests come into us, and we figure out who can best fill those bills. And in some cases, many cases, it's the Minnesota National Guard.
We're speaking with Brigadier General John Jensen and Director Joe Kelly on Minnesota Military Radio. General Jensen, I understand that you're going to do a little more work up at Camp Ripley so that you can work a little in more detail on these rails and oil car derailments.
Yeah, exactly. As many of our listeners may know, one of the priorities from Governor Dayton is rail line safety, pipeline safety, as it relates to the oil moving across Minnesota, as Director Kelly talked about. So General Nash has offered up Camp Ripley as one of these centers where we could do rail and pipeline safety training. That would include training for our local, our county, state, and our National Guard in a combined training center. And while it's primarily motivated by oil right now, we also have to remember that quite a few chemicals move by train as well. And so we'd be able to cover that scenario as well. And the great thing about Camp Ripley, Director Kelly talked about his Emergency Management Training Center, which, you know, we would also be able to tie into that. But the area that we're looking at right now is currently a major training site already. So we'd be able to tie in a new training facility in with an existing one that will provide a combined environment for the military as well as for our state partners as well.
General, I know that a lot of your soldiers and airmen go for a couple of weeks every summer and do their training, and Camp Ripley's a great place to go. But, Director, you must send your people up to the training facility a couple of weeks every year, too, then.
I think we have something going on at Camp Ripley in our Emergency Management Training Center and other places every week. So we spend a lot of time at Camp Ripley.
So that's bringing in other agencies from across the state?
Bringing in other agencies from across the state, bringing in communities. I think about a year ago this time, Stevens County came to Camp Ripley for what they call an integrated emergency management exercise. and they brought folks from the county commissioners to mayors, city council, police chiefs, and others to, again, train together as a team. And there's really only one place in Minnesota that we can do that, and that's Camp Ripley.
General, in years past on this show, we've talked about things that happen in the spring, and we usually just talk about flooding. But there's an awful lot more that could go on in terms of emergencies, and it sounds like the training for it is as great as it's ever been.
Yeah, exactly right, Tom. I know Director Kelly talked about the concern of wildfires this year. And so we've moved to a process or a procedure where we ensure that our flight crews, our Chinook and our Blackhawk crews, who through a big water bucket, we call it a Bambi bucket, can move water to fight these wildfires. We ensure that they're trained, you know, by the time 1st of April rolls around, because if we're not fighting a flood, we know we'll be fighting a wildfire in the spring. So that's currently what we're preparing for.
General, we're going to have to take a break here in about a minute. I would like to ask you to stick around. I want to talk to you about another job that you're occupying in addition to Director of the Joint Staff. But Director Kelly, we've got about a minute left. What can we tell our listeners to make them comfortable that you're on the job and training with the Minnesota National Guard and all the agencies around the state? Sounds like you're ready for just about anything.
Well, I think the people of Minnesota should feel that their communities, as well as the state and all of our partners, like the National Guard and the federal government and others, are prepared. We've talked about some specific hazards today, but one of our challenges, we never know what's going to cause the emergency or the disaster. And as General Jensen pointed out earlier, we take an all-hazards approach because we never know when or where or what is going to happen, but we need to be prepared to deal with the consequences of those kind of events. And I do think the people of Minnesota should feel very confident in the amount of time and energy and other resources that we're putting into being prepared to keep them safe, to be able to respond, and then very quickly recover and get back to normal.
Director, one last question. Is there anything that our citizens can do to prepare themselves for emergencies?
Well, there certainly are, and we're going to remind them all that in the Severe Weather Awareness Week that's going to be coming up here the 11th through the 15th of April. But we always tell people two key things. Make a plan so you know how you and your family are going to communicate and reconnect if you get separated during a disaster and emergency, and make a kit. Have an emergency kit, whether it's in your car or in your home, so that you can get along without support for up to 3 days. If you take care of those two things, make a plan and have a kit, you're probably going to be reasonably well prepared for what lies ahead, with the other critical element being keep yourself informed.
Good advice, sir, and I want to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Always great to see you.
And we'll be back in a moment to learn what General Jensen's been up to in an additional set of duties. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to visit with Brigadier General John Jensen. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
The first Medal of Honor, our nation's highest military award for valor in action against an enemy force, was presented on March 25, 1863. The U.S. Congress designated March 25th of each year as the National Medal of Honor Day. Mark Dayton has also proclaimed March 25th as Medal of Honor Day in the state of Minnesota. Since the Civil War, brave men and women from the state of Minnesota have answered the call to defend and protect the freedoms we hold dear. Several have gone beyond this call to duty, risking injury and loss of life. Medal of Honor recipients have distinguished themselves from others at the risk of their own lives above and beyond the call of duty with courage and valor. A plaque located in the Court of Honor at the Minnesota State Capitol grounds serves as a permanent marker that honors the 56 Medal of Honor recipients associated with the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As you know, we've been visiting today with Brigadier General John Jensen, who is the Director of the Joint Staff, Minnesota National Guard and Department of Military Affairs, St. Paul, Minnesota, and also is the Deputy Commanding General, United States Army Africa and Southern European Task Force, which is referred to as a dual-hatted position. General, this is something new, a dual-hatted. What does that mean?
Well, Tom, dual-hatted means I work for two different commanders in two different headquarters. My primary responsibility still remains with Minnesota National Guard, working for Major General Rick Nash. That's my primary job. But I'm also assigned to United States Army Africa, where I work for Major General Darrell Williams and the USRAF team, USRAF meaning U.S. Army Africa. So I split my time, and while primarily I spend my time in Minnesota, so far this year, at least one week out of the month, I'm spending time with the Africa team. They're doing something either on the continent or Africa or here in the United States.
General, does that leave you any time to sleep?
Yeah, it does. I've always been one that's able to sleep in airports and airplanes, so that's no problem.
Now, this is a position that you volunteered for and with the Adjutant General's full approval.
Yeah, that's correct, Tom. There's about a dozen of these positions in the Army National Guard, and I'm lucky enough to serve in one. He encouraged me to apply for a position like this, and quite honestly, there's really three people that you need to have in your corner to be successful in a job like that. One of them is your current boss, Major General Nash, my current boss. He's very supportive of my time in Africa. My other boss, Major General Williams, who is very supportive of my time commitment here in Minnesota and doesn't put me in a bad position with my boss. And then, of course, a very supportive family, a very supportive wife. So she understands that I'm not going to be around home as much, but she's okay with that. She supports this as well.
So you're traveling to another continent and getting a lot of frequent flyer miles. What's the most common question you get about Africa, sir?
Well, it's kind of interesting because when I explain this to people, they always look at me and they say, "The Army's in Africa?" And I'm like, "Well, of course the Army's in Africa. The Army's everywhere." And so U.S. Army Africa, we're the Army Service Component Command of U.S. Africa Command. So if you think of Africa, most of the military forces in Africa are ground-centric militaries. And so U.S. Army Africa, we're the land force integrator for U.S. Africa Command. So we have a very responsible position, a very important role in Africa as we try to build capacity with our African partners through what I call our true partnerships. And true partnerships are this, we give our African partners training. What they give us is experience and knowledge and an opportunity for our soldiers to support activities throughout the world. And so over a period of time, tactical, operational, and strategic level engagements are planned and executed for the organization. For example, a tactical level event would be the traditional unit-to-unit activity where we're training with a land force unit from Africa. At the strategic level, an example would be this year in Tanzania, we're hosting the African Land Forces Summit, where our commanding general will host not only the United States Army Chief of Staff, but also the land chiefs of almost every country in Africa, as well as the adjutant generals of 10 great states who have partnerships in Africa.
So, sir, you're actually, in addition then to your full-time job back here in the Minnesota National Guard, you're actually deputy commander of United States Army active duty troops over in Africa.
That's correct, Tom. This is a total force or a total Army effort. So we have active duty soldiers, for example, our regionally aligned forces, 2nd Brigade, 3rd Infantry out of Fort Stewart, Georgia. We have U.S. Army Reserve soldiers, as well as other reserve component units, and then our National Guard. As I just mentioned, 10 states, through their National Guard, have state partnership or state partnership relationships with 12 African countries. Most Minnesotans know we're aligned with Croatia. Well, we have 10 states that are aligned with Africa. So, for example, many people remember the Ebola crisis in Liberia. Michigan is aligned with Liberia. And when that Ebola crisis ended, Michigan remained engaged in that relationship and still is engaged in that relationship, as is U.S. Army Africa.
General, must be a great experience to be part of that.
You know, Tom, when anybody introduces me as the Deputy Commanding General for U.S. Army Africa, I can't help but to begin smiling, because it just doesn't seem possible that, a kid from Iowa could grow up to be something like this. And so I've I'm very appreciative of this opportunity.
General, appreciate you taking some time stopping by the radio station. It's always good to see you here in the studio, and I hope you get enough sleep, because I hope to see you again around Memorial Day.
Around Memorial Day, Tom, it wouldn't be Memorial Day unless I checked in with you.
Thank you, sir. That was Brigadier General John Jensen on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhard. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom.
How are our Minnesota Patriot Guard riders doing?
They are doing great. They're attending missions and finally starting to be able to get out on that motorcycle and go to the missions. And
winter ended early, so you're getting on that two-wheeler again, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot easier to park, 30 or 40 motorcycles than it is 30 or 40 cars.
Well, that's okay. I'm staying in my car, Tim. So have you had a busy year so far?
We have. Lots of veterans missions, active duty LAO missions and first responders. It's been a busy year.
And the riders are showing up in force as usual.
As usual, they are.
Now, I have to ask you, I ask you this every time, who's eligible to be a Minnesota Patriot Guard rider?
Anybody.
What do they need?
They need a heart that wants to honor our military, a 3x5 flag, and whatever clothing you need to weather the elements for that day.
And how do they sign up?
Just go to our website, which is mnpatriotguard.org. Over on the left side, it says join us.
All right, and it's all about honor, dignity,
and respect.
You expect that you're looking forward to a busy summer, some events coming up?
We are. We've got some pretty exciting things coming up this next summer and fall. And
Patriot Ride will be coming up?
Patriot Ride will be coming up.
And before that gets here, we'll have some of your folks on and we'll talk in detail about
we
that.
We will.
So everybody get ready. That's quite an event that comes up every summer.
It does.
And, Tim, I'm sure that the winter breaking as quickly as it did put everybody in a good mood, so that they'll be, anytime you call them, they'll join you and they'll go out there to honor whatever mission you're on.
Yes, it is. And anybody that wants to join us, just come on out.
All right. Any final thoughts for our listeners, Tim?
Yes, be careful. Everybody that's out on their bikes, be careful. People aren't really waiting for or watching for us yet, and the rest of us that are on our bikes, be careful, because there's all kinds of debris and stuff like that on the roads yet.
What's that they're saying? See motorcycle riders.
Yes.
Especially our Minnesota Patriot Guard riders.
Yes.
All right, Tim, be careful out there on that motorcycle.
Oh, I am.
Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Tim Leonhard from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We have one mention this week. Public is invited to attend Vietnam Veterans Day event at the Forest Lake American Legion Post 225, Sunday, April 3, starting at 2 p.m. The 9th annual Vietnam Veterans Day event honors Minnesota's Vietnam veterans in celebration of Minnesota Vietnam Veterans Day, which is Tuesday, March 29th. Veteran news anchor Steve Turner will be master of ceremony, and the keynote speaker is retired Major General, Vietnam veteran, and Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Commissioner Larry Shelato. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Director Joe Kelly from Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management, Brigadier General John Jensen, Tim Leonhard from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Shelato, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund and see how the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and the University of Minnesota have formed a nursing partnership. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at minnesotamilitaryradio.com.